Right now, I'm very honored to introduce to you Wendell Potter, a health insurance industry public relations executive for 20 years, who became a whistleblower in 2008. He's now a senior fellow on healthcare with the Center for Media and Democracy. Wendell Potter is author of the new book, Deadly Spin, an insurance company insider speaks out on how corporate PR is killing healthcare and deceiving Americans. Wendell Potter, great to have you on the program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
Wendell, before we talk about some of the things you talk about in your book, as well as the Republican Party promise to do their best to repeal the healthcare law with all its flaws, I wonder if you talk a bit about the things that happened to you that made you decide to go public with your profound opposition to the way America's health insurance industry conducts business. I had read about two events that pushed you over to the other side while you were director of media relations at the health insurance giant Cigna. You want to talk just a little bit about that?
Yeah, there were two events that really made it clear to me that I was in the wrong line of work, I guess you would say. I had been a spokesman for two big insurance companies over the course of 20 years and was heading corporate communications at Cigna when I left in 2008. I was becoming increasingly uncomfortable serving as a spokesman for the industry, though, prior to those events, because I didn't want to be part of yet another campaign to try to derail reform or to shape it to the industry's satisfaction. And I also was becoming increasingly concerned about the growing number of people who were uninsured and underinsured. And I was becoming very much aware that the insurance industry and the way it operated was increasing both numbers. We now have more than 50 million people in this country who do not have insurance, and at least another 25 million who are underinsured. But in 2007, actually, I was visiting my parents who lived in Tennessee. My mom still does, and I read an article about a healthcare expedition that was being held near where I grew up, and I decided to go there out of curiosity. The newspaper article that I was reading about it said that people from as far away as Ohio and South Carolina and Georgia were expected to be there for free care that was being provided over 3 days by doctors and nurses who were volunteering their time. I was just stunned when I got there and saw just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who were standing in long lines in the rain. It was raining that day. They were just soaking wet. And I could tell that they were standing in lines that led into barns and animal stalls where doctors were providing care. And others were getting care under open-sided tents. You could walk around and just see people being cared for right out there in the open. It was stunning to me. I couldn't imagine that this was happening in the United States of America, that thousands of people who could have been people I grew up with were having to resort to a county fairgrounds and to get care in animal stalls. When I was leading a very comfortable life in Cigna's headquarters cities of Philadelphia. And then another thing that happened to me that's kind of the straw that broke the camel's back was when a 17-year-old girl was denied coverage by a Cigna medical director for a liver transplant that her doctor said would save her life. And the medical director said, in his opinion, it would be experimental. He was 2,500 miles away from this young girl and was just going by some medical records that had been sent to him. And I just, I had handled so many of those kinds of cases as a spokesman for the industry that I just didn't want to do it anymore. I knew that that corporate doctor was just as much of a corporate employee as I was, and he knew just as much as I did that we had our own roles to play in helping to make sure that the company met the shareholders' earnings expectations. And I just decided at that point that I was going to walk away from my job and my career.
And I guess you know better than I and probably most people about the death panels, the real death panels that comprise a large part of the daily business of insurance companies. And we might touch upon the charges of death panels that have been tossed around about the healthcare debate and what's going on in Arizona right now. I mean, that's something that warrants a mention tonight a little later. But Wendell Potter, I wanted to ask you about what may jump up over in the last in the next few days. When they take power in the House of Representatives this week, the Republican Party is preparing to launch an effort to repeal the health care reform law passed by the Democratic Congress in 2010. And I wanted you to assess that effort and the insurance company attitude towards that. But first of all, just assess the strengths and weaknesses of the health care law passed by Congress and certainly signed into law by Obama.
The law itself has many flaws, but it does many good things as well. And it will make illegal some of the most egregious practices of the health insurance industry. And it will bring a lot of people into coverage that have not had insurance coverage for a long time, many of them. As many as 30 million Americans will have coverage once this legislation is fully implemented in 2014. And it will prohibit insurance companies from refusing to sell us insurance if we've had a pre-existing condition. It will require them to keep our children on the on the rolls until they turn 26 if they can't get insurance elsewhere. And it will prohibit them from dropping insurance when we get sick if they just don't want to pay our medical claims. It's a practice called rescission that the industry has been engaging in for quite a long time. And so in that regard, it does a lot of good. It falls short in that it doesn't bring everyone into coverage. There will still be probably 20 million people who don't have coverage. And it doesn't give the government the authority to really regulate rates that insurance companies charge, at least at the federal level. So we will not have as much protection from the government in terms of price gouging from the insurance industry as I would hope that we would.
Well, from the perspective of someone who worked in the health insurance industry for some 20 years, what's the attitude of the insurance companies towards the new health care law, and specifically the individual mandate, which compels all Americans not eligible for government-run health programs like Medicare and Medicaid to purchase private insurance?
Well, the insurance industry likes this legislation quite a bit, in particular that provision, which was the main reason they were supportive of health care reform at all. They wanted to have the individual mandate enacted into law. That was the first priority, and they got that. The second priority was to make sure there was no public option included in the legislation, and they got that as well. They will not want this legislation repealed. And what is going on behind the scenes, certainly, is that the insurance company's lobbyists are telling the Republican lawmakers, look, you probably have an obligation to the people who voted for you, who think that you are sincere in wanting to repeal this legislation. Go through the motions. You can have your vote on reform. But because we know it's not going to pass, it won't get through the Senate. And even if the Senate were to repeal the legislation along with the House, then the President would veto it. So it's not likely that it will be a successful effort. So it'll be, in my view, a big show, and largely because the insurance industry does not want it repealed. In fact, I think they probably are telling the Republican lawmakers, who I think many of them genuinely think, as I did for many years, and the new ones in particular who are coming into Congress for the first time, that the free market should work in health care and health insurance. It just simply does not. And I saw the reasons for that and why it doesn't over the course of my 20-year career in the industry. But they haven't seen that. They don't understand the health insurance industry because they've never been an insider. So I can understand why ideologically they think that this legislation might not be a good thing, because it does impose more regulations on insurers, which insurers don't like, but they do like the individual mandate. And they will be telling these members of Congress, look, have this vote if you need to satisfy your voters, but we know, wink, wink, that it's not going to pass.
So in essence, what's going on in Washington this week will be political theater for the consumption of people who were led to believe and propagandized that this health care reform law was somehow a government takeover. It's actually, the way you describe it, it's more like an insurance takeover where they get 30 million more customers who have to buy their insurance.
Oh, absolutely. This legislation props up our private health insurance system in ways that I think that the conservatives and the Republicans probably don't understand, because they don't, again, understand the health care system as they should. But you're exactly right. It will be political theater. The insurance industry will benefit significantly from this, because it will give them, it will require us all to buy their products. It will mean that they will get billions and billions of dollars in new revenue from us and from the federal government, because clearly many of us would buy insurance now if we could afford it. And many people who are uninsured just simply cannot. Most of them are that way. So the federal government will be subsidizing their payments. So this can be a big windfall for the insurance industry, and it will ensure that the private insurance sector, or the private insurance market, can continue to exist. Without it, it would eventually crumble, because you cannot keep transferring more and more of the cost, or shifting more of the cost of health care from insurance companies and employers to individuals, as they're trying to do now. That just is not something that's sustainable over the long haul.
We're speaking tonight on Counterpoint with Wendell Potter, health insurance industry public relations executive for 2 decades with both Cigna and Humana, who became a whistleblower in 2008. His new book is titled Deadly Spin, an Insurance Company Insider Speaks Out on Health, on how corporate PR is killing healthcare and deceiving Americans. Along with the challenge in Congress to the healthcare law, Wendell, there have been other court challenges in the last few months to the individual mandate from a number of state governments. And one of those so far has succeeded with an affirmative decision by a Virginia federal court, where they said that the individual mandate was not constitutional. However, the judge seemed to pull his punches there and not try to intervene at all in the ongoing institution of the law. But what's your view of these challenges in court, and how could that affect some of the beneficial portions of the reform law?
Well, that case that you mentioned did attract a lot of media attention, as I knew that it would, and it did, and that judge did rule that in his opinion it was unconstitutional, or at least that provision of the bill that requires us to buy insurance. What people don't probably know or have forgotten is that 2 other federal judges ruled it constitutional, the opposite of what he ruled. So 2 have ruled it constitutional, and 1 has ruled it unconstitutional, and it will not be decided until it goes to the Supreme Court. I think it probably will ultimately be upheld, because I think the lawmakers who crafted this legislation were very, very careful. They knew what the assaults would be on the legislation, so I think that the way they drafted it was very with great care. But that judge, even he said that this law can go forward if pending the appeal process, and so all the states have to, every one of the states has to proceed to implement this law, and the insurance companies and every other entity and person affected by this will have to abide by it while it's going through the appeal process. So, and I think it would be foolish for any state executive to think that, well, we'll just wait until we see if the law is going to be declared unconstitutional. They have to do a lot of things as a consequence of this law to get ready for it. One important thing is to set up the exchanges, which there has been no real serious challenge to. So it, in my view, it will go forward. And another thing to keep in mind is that many, if not most, of the attorneys general who brought these lawsuits against the bill did so out of political motivations. They were candidates themselves seeking elective office. And much of what we saw during the midterm campaigns was, in my view, demagoguery and just really taking advantage of people and trying to get them to vote against their own self-interests, as we see happen so many times.
Wendell Potter, in an odd, an ironic twist, if by some circumstance the courts threw out the individual mandate, that would in turn strengthen the case for a public option, would it not? And what's your view of how the public option could be reintegrated into this law, you know, down the line in future years.
You know, you're right. If that provision of the law were to be declared unconstitutional, and it is, again, it's the one element that is being challenged, and the other elements of the bill will be upheld, that is the worst nightmare for the insurance industry, and I'm sure that there are some executives who are probably losing sleep over that prospect. I don't think it's likely to happen, but it could be. And again, it would be the worst case scenario for the insurance industry. And it would mean that there would be a lot more clamoring for a public option and a great need for it. I think that there is a prospect for a public option, and I think conceivably it could start there at the state level in Connecticut with Sustinet. I think there's entirely a good possibility that there could be a form of a public option that is available for Connecticut residents. And we'll see other things at the state level that will be happening. Keep in mind, too, that in Canada, which has a single-payer system, it didn't start at the federal level. It started at the state level. Saskatchewan initiated their single-payer system by enacting a single-payer system in that province. And so I think the states here will be doing something comparable. We may or may not have a single-payer system in this country ultimately, but I think that we very likely will have a public option, and that may well begin in Connecticut.
Right. We've been following that discussion. We have a new governor in place, Dan Malloy, who is friendly in general to the idea of Sustinet. It's not been funded yet. The law has been passed, but it's not been funded yet. But I think right. The idea is that some kind of public option will save money in the long run for the state of Connecticut.
And, no doubt it would. I'm confident it would.
But, Wendell, as you said, the single-payer system in Canada began in the province of Saskatchewan, and the federal system followed the success there. Realistically, how do you think we as citizens could promote the idea of single-payer, given the shortcomings of this new reform law, whether or not it's successfully challenged in court? How do we proceed to really push for single-payer? And maybe you can also explain why you think a single-payer is really the best way to go.
Well, I'll address the first part of that, because I think that the reason that the opponents of the single-payer system have been so successful is that, it's, you know, the campaign has been led, at least behind the scenes, by the insurance industry, that truly would be their worst-case scenario, because it would put them out of business. So they will do all they can to make sure that no state enacts a single-payer system, although Vermont possibly could. It'll be something that Vermonters may have a chance to vote on, or their legislature might be able to vote on.
I was just reading today there was a rally at the state capitol, hundreds of people rallying to promote the idea that a single-payer system should be implemented in Vermont.
And I think you'll see a significant amount of support there, and again, that has to be very troubling to the insurance industry. I think what the advocates of a single-payer system there and elsewhere need to do is to look at how the industry and its allies, the insurance industry, has been able to discredit the notion of single-payer in the past to the use of selective data and anecdotes from other countries that have a single-payer type system. They'll be doing the same thing in Vermont and elsewhere. They'll be trying to scare people away from the idea that we're calling it socialism and a government takeover, and those kinds of efforts are, you know, they're fear-mongering campaigns that can be very, very successful. Advocates need to know to anticipate that and be armed with information to counter all the misinformation and the anecdotes with facts and real-life stories that people can understand that there is an entirely different version of single payer than the one that will be disseminated by the insurance industry and its allies.
Well, Wendell Potter, I just have one last question for you. I'm sorry we don't have more time, but I'd love to have you back. And I know you're on your book tour, and we'll have you say a word about some of the things you're working on now. But I did want to ask you this. In Arizona, there is a government defunding of some organ transplants for people who are desperately ill and need those transplants to live. And despite all the misinformation and propaganda that was launched by the insurance company and their allies in Congress to talk about government death panels, it seems that the Republican governor of Arizona is really right now heading a genuine government death panel.
Yeah. It's true, and it is something that I think people just have a hard time accepting or getting their heads around, that this is indeed what is going on. These, just as a corporate bureaucrat can make life or death decisions and do every day with people who are privately insured, now we're seeing a Republican governor sanctioning death panels in the state of Arizona. That's exactly what this is. When you're withholding coverage for life-saving treatments, in my book, that is a genuine death panel.
And Wendell, I again want to thank you for all your work on behalf of true healthcare reform in this country and speaking from an insider's viewpoint and all your experience dedicating your life and time to these issues now that you've come out from the corporate world. That's a lot of courage it took to do that, and I know there are many of listeners who are very appreciative of you taking that courageous step. But Wendell, tell us a little bit about your book tour now and some of the other things you're working on. I've heard that you want to go back to journalism full time. You were a reporter before you went into the healthcare industry. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, my life is very, very exciting, and what I'm doing now is very rewarding, and I feel like at long last I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing or doing it again. I am going to become a journalist again. I'll be working with the Center for Public Integrity, which is based in Washington. It's been around for 20 years, and it was created to keep investigative journalism alive. So I'll be doing analysis pieces and commentaries, and I'll be heading up a project called Healthcare Watch, in which I'll be reporting on and analyzing how the healthcare reform legislation is being implemented, what is happening in Congress, and what's happening at the state level. So I'll be watching closely to see what happens in Connecticut, certainly in Vermont, and other states, California, all the states that are taking lead roles in doing something that's innovative in helping to make sure that our citizens have better care. And I'll be looking to see how efforts are being thwarted or attempted to be thwarted. And the book tour is going great. I've been all across the country already. We'll be starting it once again tomorrow, going to Atlanta, and I'll be in the Southeast and then the Midwest and the Mountain States. So it's just been extraordinary. I've had wonderful audiences, and I'm very grateful to my publisher, Bloomsbury, for making it all possible.
Well, Wendell, thanks for that. And one last quick note here. You're a senior fellow on healthcare issues with the Center for Media and Democracy. I know you do a blog there.
Yeah.
Give any relevant web addresses here for people to read your articles.
Yes, the web address for that organization is prwatch.org. And I also do a lot of blogging at the Huffington Post, and I've written for Newsweek. And all of my writings are at wendellpotter.com. So you can go there to stay current with all I'm doing in various places.
All right. Well, thanks again for taking time with us. And again, kudos for all the work, hard work, and risks you took in coming forward and really bucking the company line that you held for 20 years. Thanks
well,
so
thank
much
you.
For doing that.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Okay. Good night, Wendell. Thanks
Good
very
night.
Much.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, bye-bye.
That was Wendell Potter, health insurance industry public relations executive for 2 decades with Cigna and Humana, a whistleblower since 2008. His new book is titled Deadly Spin, an insurance company insider speaks out on how corporate PR is killing healthcare and deceiving Americans.